This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 256. You came for the adventure,
but you stayed for the panties.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast. How you doing?
Slash wave.
Oh, you brought it back to the IRC.
Mm-hmm, yes I did.
Aw, you're so geeky.
Slash me waves geekily at microphone-like person.
Nerd. Anyway, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. We're gonna focus first actually on an anime, because Panda, you and I have had a shared experience this week in the world of anime. And I don't know exactly still what the experience was, but we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about the whole thing.
I know.
Yeah. No, we're going to do it.
It makes my brain hurt just thinking about the fact that we're going to think about it again.
Yep, we're going to think about it again. We're going to warn people right now that we are probably going to spoil something for you.
We're
going to
spoil so much shit out of this shit that you're going to be like, shit.
But at the same time,
you're going to be like, what the hell are these girls talking about?
And we're not actually going to spoil all of it for you.
I don't even, it's...
And what I will say
I think
is,
it's like Inception. You watch it the first time, you're like, what happened?
Yeah, but even Inception, you knew what you were getting into. Okay?
Well,
let's take a step back here. I will preface this by first saying that some of the people are the people.
But they're not the people.
But they're not the people.
Yeah.
And they're not the people in the anime series that we're going to talk about today.
So if you even want to pause...
I was trying to actually give them the name of the anime, because we actually haven't said it yet.
But you've given them a hint that you might want to, you know, write it down and randomly throughout the episode remind yourself that the people are the people, but they're not the people.
No, some of the people are the people. But not all of the people are the people, but some of the people are not the people.
So I think we need to give
them
that
mantra.
No,
don't write it down. Don't even write it down, because then you'll be looking at it and you're going to get even more lost. Just, if it pops out in your head while you're watching it, great. If it doesn't, you will get to a point where you yourself will come to that conclusion. So we don't have to force feed them, because there are going to be some people that if they do write that down and then they keep looking at that episode after episode, they're going to get it earlier than we did.
Well, you know what?
That's not the experience. They got to come to it. It's like the sixth sense. Okay? You gotta come to the experience, you gotta come to the same conclusion at the same time as everybody else. And all you bastards that figured it out earlier, you just keep it to your damn self.
You know half those people were in Mensa, right? That's why they put that together faster than everybody else.
I don't care.
Some people are just smarter than us, Ninja, and you know what?
And that's
fine. I've accepted that.
I have too, just keep it to your damn self.
You'll be like, hee, I'm super smart. I figured out, shut the fuck
punch
up.
Punch to nuts. See, that's what happens.
Well, so you're low enough to that ratio to punch nuts. I'd have to, like, punch a chin. Or, like, the collarbone.
You know, the short jokes, really, on the internet.
They ain't never stopping. That train ain't never late. Choo-choo. There it is.
Anyway. Fuck that train. Anyway.
But they have seats that are custom.
Fuck you.
Anyway, anime.
I bought you lunch.
Om nom nom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so I think that train should actually not stop at this station today.
It's gonna stop, but they're gonna upgrade you.
You
to
better
first
stop
class.
It. Fuck you. The anime that we're talking about today is called We Without Wings Under the Innocent Sky. So I want to first talk about the title, because the title almost has absolutely nothing to do with the anime. Almost. Because we're gonna try and not spoil this. But it almost has nothing to do with it, because I'll say this. there really isn't anything, quote-unquote, innocent in this anime.
Well, the sky's pretty innocent. It's just like, hey, I'm a sky.
No!
I'm blue and I've got clouds, and I have no idea what's going on with people who don't have wings and are all up in this. So, like, it should be oblivious sky.
Thank you.
It's like, we without wings under the oblivious sky. Like, I don't know what's going on. Things would just be crazy. I'd be talking to the sun about it all the time, and it'd be like, damn.
Yes, because, first of all, okay, there are anime that you watch that are obviously harem animes. Okay? There are animes that you watch that obviously came from a video game. You know, or an H game, or...
Well, this came from a visual novel, though.
Yeah, it did come from a visual novel. Okay? And so you automatically have some ideas of what the mechanic is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay? When you know something is brought from a H game, you know what the major mechanic is going to be. It's
gonna vagina.
Be, exactly. And there's going to be a lot of it... Well, it may not necessarily be fucking.
No, in a hentai game, your
right,
objective
not,
is to screw.
Right, but not
everything.
But not every harem manga is an H game.
Right.
Okay, I'm just talking about, you know, if you've got a harem manga that becomes an anime, you know that you're going to have lots of girls vying for one guy's attention. You're going to have somebody who's going
to
be kind of clunky.
Men need to stop wishful thinking. Because you never get 8 chicks who all know about each other being like, you know what, one of us is the one. Like, fuck that bitch.
That somebody will get cut.
Let's get cutthroat with this.
But you know what the mechanic's going to be. There's going to be a klutzy one. There's going to be a shy one. There's going to be a smart one. There's going to be a priestess type. There's going to be, you know.
All the moes will come together in
exactly.
this beautiful union
you know
of tension.
What the mechanic is going to be. It's just going to be what's the circumstance that they're all thrown in together and which, you know, avenue are they going to choose.
Okay? And who's going to get the dude.
Right. When you have an H game we'll just take it that. If you have an H game that gets turned into a manga, you obviously know what's going to happen. People are going to get fucked.
It reminds me of that Zack and Miri makes a porno. Let's fuck! Like,
let us fuck! Yeah, literally. I mean, you know that. There might be a tentacle thing, there may not be a tentacle.
Not all hentai have
That's
tentacles.
Why I said might.
_italicized.
Okay. And by that, I mean 85% of the time, there will be a tentacle scene. Even if the tentacle thing doesn't get with, it'll be introduced. Okay? Alright? We can agree with that.
Anyway, you know, back to the oblivious sky.
Let's get back to the oblivious sky. I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck. Because you have... a bunch of characters. I can't even say what the premise is. Because there's really not a
Believe
premise.
Believe it or not, once you've watched, I honestly think that you get the premise of the anime when you get to the last episode.
Right, that's the thing. Is you gotta
so
you can't
if we start from episode one, we really couldn't tell you what was going on.
Let's start this with episode one, okay? Because we don't want to give it away. Because we can't really give him a premise. Because there isn't one until, like, the last fucking episode.
I mean, I was trying to take notes during the first episode. Because Ninja watched this first.
Yep.
And came to me and said, you need to experience this. Let me know what you think. And I said, okay. You know, and hopped on our crunchy rolls. And sat down for episode one. And literally at the end, I'm like, oh, we've got a boy. There are some girls. I'm like, we got a standard harem. Wait a minute, there's another guy. That's, alright, and he's not like the sub-character to the main dude. I'm like, he's a totally different dude with a chunk of totally different chicks. I'm like, so we've got two, wait a minute, now we have this other guy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, way too many guys. Too many hot dogs at the barbecue.
So let's take a step back. I guess what you would say is the first main protagonist of the series is Takashi, and Takashi is in school. I would say that he's in high school.
I'd say he's like a freshman, sophomore, maybe.
Yeah,
he's young. He's on the younger side of the high school.
Okay, in school, and he is the pleasing type. He rarely says no to anyone. He's kind of a pushover.
He's a doormat.
He is, and there are a lot of people that take advantage of that.
Girls, like the girls.
Yep, especially. He's somehow on the student council, and the student council vice president pushes him around all the time and makes him take on the tougher jobs and things like that, and...
And he does it with a smile.
He does. He takes it all in stride, but he keeps to himself, and he's, you know, kind of quiet and things like that. He has a younger sister,
Kotoba. Kobato.
And it...
Sawakawa Kobato.
Stop it. And they pretty much live by themselves. She tends to do all of the housewifey type things.
So no,
she,
really?
Shut up. Come on, I'm breaking it down for the peoples. They may not have watched this yet. That's why we're talking about
Yeah,
it
but
like
everybody
this.
Knows the whole... In any harem or age game, parents are somewhere else
can
other
I
than
Can I finish
home.
My splation, please?
All right, finish your splation.
Thank you. So she does all the cooking and the cleaning and... Then you have another set of characters. So the second protagonist, which I would say we're introduced to second, I think, is Shusuke.
Yep.
Shoo. And he is definitely older.
Hot ginger.
I would say that
he's an anime dude I'd like to have coffee with.
I would say that he's more on the level of senior in high school because... he works at a cafe called Cafe Alexander. And...
Hot ginger mother.
Initially, he doesn't work there. He just kind of hangs out and loafs there all the time. Because he and the owner of the cafe, they share a similar...
Perversion!
Yes, perversion. They like other ladies.
They like them a lot.
Especially the moe.
There's nothing wrong with moe.
No, but they... As you know, in later episodes, there's, you know, some... There's a collection of things, and there's a long...
Paraphernalia!
There's some paraphernalia.
Merchandise.
There's merchandise. That's... Yes. Mm. Okay, but Shusuke is very energetic. He's very social, and...
He's a ginger hot...
He is...
Mexi Mexerton pants.
He definitely...
He brings the smolder.
He does, he kind of, he tries.
He tries
really hard, but he also
is a goof. He's a goofy.
He is. So he's
approachable, I think. Like, if he was an actual person in real life, I think girls would be like, oh, I could totally hang around this guy. He's not nearly as creepy.
Yeah, he's not the type, you wouldn't be intimidated by him.
Let's go grab a burger and a
goofy,
movie,
but
and
he
I'll
has,
touch your junk later.
He has those, like, stop it. He has those few moments where the character, when he gets serious or is determined or is focused on helping someone, where he has very strong moments and really a sweet character about him. But he mostly is a loafer. We don't really figure out what it is that he does. We never see him go to school, so obviously he must be out of school. But he doesn't exactly have a job. What he does is he writes previews for books.
He's a freelance. He does freelance.
Right, so he doesn't always have
steady income coming in.
Correct. Then you have the waitresses at the Cafe Alexandra.
Yep. Alexander.
Thank you, Alexander. I don't know why I said draw. But I have to go to my notes because I didn't write down all of their names. But you have Izumi. You have what is her name? Yashino.
Let's see. So we have Eriko, Kinako, Yue. Let me see who else.
No, you had Izumi, because you had Tame Izumi, because she was the book writer one.
Yep, she's the book writer, yep.
Okay, and then you had...
Don't forget Naru.
Yeah, but she didn't work at the Alexander.
No, but she's one of the girls, though.
Not with Shusuke. Mm-hmm. I'm only talking about Shusuke right now. Okay, so we need
the angry one, the bookworm one.
Yeah, there's...
I think it was Eriko and Kinako.
Yeah, or those two.
Because Kinako is now going back to school.
Correct. So those are the ones that are around Shusuke. And Izumi has actually written a book. She's written two. The second book isn't as well received, and it's the first assignment that Shusuke gets where he has to write a review
on it.
Okay, and so he writes a very positive one because he's very good at writing about people's strengths. He's very good at seeing people's strengths.
But I think his boss was pretty much just assigned it to him because she knew that this book wasn't going to do well and was trying to curb the damage.
Correct. Okay, and so he writes the review and doesn't realize that one of the people that he will end up working with
is the writer.
At the Alexander is the writer. And so there's hijinks that ensue around that. And that's an interesting little dynamic. And then the third character, protagonist, one I would say, that you meet is, oh boy, I'm blanking on his name now.
Is he the construction guy?
Yeah.
Narima? Isn't it like...
Narita
Construction.
Yeah. Okay, and so what Narita does, although no one calls him that, everyone calls
him
Dora.
Dora, which is short for like,
Dracula.
Because he only comes out at night.
Right, and he's really more of a handyman. He always will pick up jobs here and there. He doesn't have a set job, but is always trying to earn money, but is, you know, antisocial, even though he's social. So he knows a lot of people, but he's always one to, like...
He's like, oh, shut up or I'll kill you.
Exactly. I'll freaking kill you. Which I think that they're actually editing, because I'm pretty sure he would actually say, I'll fucking kill you. But he ends up getting paired with someone that needs help as well. And what's interesting about the dynamic is each of the protagonist guys is doing something. It's almost like they're on a quest with some female character.
Yeah.
Okay. Shusuke has Izumi, who has the book, and she has a set of issues that she kind of needs to work through. And so you almost have the dynamic of a harem game, because there are certain things that Shusuke has to do in order to get her to kind of come out of her shell and realize herself, I think would be a fair way to put it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, then you have Dora, Naruto-kun, who... Yeah, I don't know how to describe what is...
I mean, he's cold. I mean, he's cool and he's collected.
I mean, there's a... Okay, let's...
But his girl is so over the top. So, like,
all the girls that are around him are over the top.
No, but not even...
The Lolita that always shows panties. First of all, let's go back. Let's take a step back. This thing has so much fan service. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like fan service that doesn't even make sense. Like, what was that one show that was just nothing but panty shots?
Colorful?
Yes. Okay. Colorful made more sense. The panty shots in Colorful made more sense.
I actually think there was one skit where there was a woman and she was just saying, I think she was like teaching English to a Japanese class. So when she would make sounds, like, with her mouth, people were like, oh, she said, oh. And I was just like, wow, you perverts.
But seriously, Colorful, the panty shots in Colorful make more sense.
I think a lot of them were a lot more tactful. Hey, girl walks by a puddle. Conveniently, you can see up her dress.
It's exactly. Like, this one literally...
Which is like, hey, look.
Whee! Like, literally, there's a character, Alice... And
she's blonde and American?
Yeah, she's American.
And she's what, like 8?
Maybe.
Actually, okay. Yeah.
And her Japanese... And broken Japanese because she's learning Japanese.
It's like Yoda Japanese.
Okay. But because her father is a diplomat, she's always out at night by herself.
With a black dude.
No, she finds the black dude because he's a salesman. He sells jewelry. You know, the first time that Naruto comes up, yeah, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, he does.
Mm-hmm.
He sells rings, and he's always trying to get Naruto to
cock
buy
him. Rings, maybe?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, I bet he does. I bet he
They're
do.
Finger rings.
I bet he do.
He might do that on the side, but not when Alice is around. So...
I don't know why, because the way she speaks, she fit right in.
But she's dressed like a gothic Lolita all the time. And the first time that you meet her... She basically ends up flashing her underwear, which, by the way...
Is very sexy for an 8-year-old.
Is the type of lingerie that you would expect to see on somebody over 20, not under 20.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Because it's lacy, black.
I honestly think that we're even looking like 25 plus, because young 21s don't rock the sexy lingerie until they start getting serious about the dude.
And so she basically flashes him, and the line that she says is like, do you want to put your monster inside?
No, she's like, wow, you have a monster and I have a kitten. And you want to put your monster in my kitten.
Yeah.
And I was...
And that's in the first episode.
And I was like, how old are you?
Okay, and then, you know, Naruto freaks out and is like, no. And then everyone's like, oh, you're a pervert. That's what it is.
It's like, oh, so no, because the black guy was telling her. It's like, you know, she's like, people don't like children here. And he goes, we're in Japan. No, the general male populace is pedophiles.
Yes.
So it's just like, oh, so they would like my kitten?
And yeah, then, and you're just like, wait, what? What?
She's,
why are we having this conversation? I mean,
she might only be like 8, but she's pretty well adjusted to the fact that, you know, she's got a vagina.
Yes, because she tries to throw it at Naruto almost every single time you see her.
Forbidden fruit, man.
Okay, and he's always saying no, but the girl that he's focused on, basically trying to help her locate her bike.
What a dumb bitch.
Okay, but here's the thing. He's trying to help Otori. And she...
Naru Otori.
Yeah. And she... She isn't the brightest thing.
No.
On the planet.
I think she reads way too much shoujo
manga. Way too much. Like, way
like, too much. Like, oh, I conveniently dropped my wallet so that you'd have to call my name. It's like, wow, you're conniving.
It. I'm smart. You're just like, no, you're like, not. Like,
oh, you are a conniving B-I-T-C-H.
And then she falls and you have to see her striped panties. And you're just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
But, you really? Know, styles of panties will tell you a lot about girls, especially in
But areas. Here's the thing. They don't all wear the same style of panties. Like, you think, okay, one person, you know, we see her twice with, like, really sedate panties, like a beige color and, like, a pink color. And you think, oh, this is a really stable person. Cool. And then all of a sudden you see her with, like, a polka-dotted stripe thing, and you're just like, wait, what? Okay, and then, for whatever reason, I imagine that the series actually shows off a lot more than we actually get to see, because it's dramatically censored.
We haven't even started to address any of the plot points yet.
Are there plot points? I think this is one of the things.
No, believe it or not, after you watch the last episode. Because
we don't want to give away that, because you really don't really get to make any sense until episode 11.
And why the hell are we talking about this?
Because there's so many things that happen, and there's so many things that go on. Like, for instance,
there's a lot of off-the-color comedy, too. Like, during the little segments that aren't really necessarily part of the story. Like, they do a thing right around Christmas time in the series, and all the main girls are, like, in Christmas clothes. And they're pretty much wearing, like, a bra and, like, a poodle skirt, a short poodle skirt and heels. And, like, a main, like, producer guy comes out and says, you guys aren't showing enough skin. And it's like, yeah, they are. So what are you expecting? And then a random woman who you don't even get introduced to her to, like, episode 10... comes in and literally, like, a string right down with bells over her, you know, her lady nips. And just enough to, like, wrap around her vajay hole.
And she barely. They have to throw up the keep out tape, which I do think is a really cute thing. Anytime that they get too close.
Too hot for TV. Don't cross this line.
Exactly. They'll put up do not cross tape across it. So you're like, okay, you want to show me basically...
But they don't only do that, because in certain areas, like,
The poison scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, roll the fog, yeah. We need more fog.
There should be more fog. Like, the screen is literally covered, 3/4 of the screen is covered with fog, and you're just like, I know what they're doing.
Yeah, because...
It's obvious.
She is totally, you know...
She is totally engaged
effing his pee with her tees.
Yes.
And that's how you get poison out in this particular mystical
realm. That is not how you remove poison from the body. Okay, guys, when you watch this episode...
Oh, you'll love this one.
Don't turn to your girlfriend and be like, I think I need to get poisoned, and I think you need to remove it from my body.
Because I'm like, let me drive you to the hospital.
Exactly. Hold on, let me call 911. Boop, boop, boop. Okay.
That's 4 beeps. You only need 3 for 911.
Well, if you have a cell phone, you want to put the star in so that it'll figure out where you are better. Don't make me smack you with my knowledge.
I don't want to be smacked by your knowledge.
It's kind of...
Regardless.
So, here's the thing. You have to go into this anime, And we are recommending that you watch it because it's an experience. It's not an experience like...
It's not comfortable, and it won't be comfortable till the end.
Right, but it's not like a Queen's Blade experience.
Though there's a lot of people who like the Queen's Blade.
There are a lot of people...
And the shuffles, and
you know, and that's cool. But I'm saying it's not a Queen's Blade-like experience.
No, but it's a little more intense and odd, in the oddest way.
It is. It's in,
like, and Queen's Blade is blatantly uncomfortable. You're like... Whoa, snake panties. Okay, great. But this is kind of like, I don't even see it, but I know how awkward this situation is.
Right,
like,
right.
They tap into your awkwardness.
Because we didn't even get to the point. You're getting through the first episode where you're getting introduced to all these protagonists. And then all of a sudden, the last 15 seconds of the first episode, all of a sudden, you're in medieval times.
Yep. There's, like, no porthole that brings... You're just like, hey, look, mountainside.
No, it's not. It's just like, literally, you see a flash of gold, and then all of a sudden, Takashi...
The hills are alive with the Sound of Music.
Right. Takashi is in full-on armor. There are horses. It's obviously not present day, because there are winged, fighty, flighty men in the sky. Kind of reminded me of the Fighting Hawkman from Flash Gordon. And you're just like... What?
Nani kuda.
Okay. So, literally, you end the episode, you're like, No. So, I actually ran it back to watch it again to make sure that I wasn't, like, hallucinating.
You weren't.
And I was like, nope, straight up. We just went to medieval times on this shit. So, I started the next episode presuming that I would pick up right from the medieval times.
Nope. There are so many... Like, I feel like...
No.
Whoever did the editing for this is like, I'm on speed right now, and I'm just gonna piece shit together, and you're gonna have to figure it out. And someone's like, I actually kind of like your creative genius, and he was like, I was just high.
I feel like that might have happened. Because then, what happens is, there's the present day, and now there's this other realm. Okay? And in the present day, Takashi is Takashi. But in the other realm...
He is Lord Hawk.
He is Lord Hawk Cyan Blue. So...
He's Hawk Blue Blue.
He's Hawk Blue Blue.
Lord Hawk Blue Blue.
And you're just like, okay.
If you notice, all the other, like, knights also had, like, the same color, but a different name for the color and the color. So it was, like, Garado, like, Onyx Black. Or yes. Whatever. And I'm like, So his name is, like, Lord Granado Black.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, someone didn't take creative writing very well.
Somebody obviously was on the shrooms.
Hardy McPink-Pink. Princess Pink-Pink.
Princess Pink-Pink and Lord Hawk Fuchsia Pink. Blue.
Hawk, Lord Hawk Blue-Blue. I'm sorry, Hawk, I can't.
Blue-Blue.
It's like now introducing Lord Hawk Blue-Blue.
You're just like, what?
It's like, what did he blue? Wait. Like, blue-blue? He blue-blue what?
Yeah, exactly. No. Cyan blue. So...
You were a fancier cyan, blue and then a regular blue.
So he's cyan blue and then, like, what? Royal blue? Who are you doing?
Well, he's like, royal because he's a lord. So he's, like, a royal blue.
So anyway...
Makes no fucking sense.
Once you get past Hawk blue-blue...
Lord Hawk blue-blue.
And Lord Garuda black-black.
Yeah. Who's... It's weird, because he's bad, but he's not bad.
But here's the thing, and you don't really get to him until, like, the 7th episode.
And then they're like, I'm here, and then I'm dead. He was, like, dead bro walking. He had, like, a great entrance, and then, oh, it's done.
I know. He's just like, wait, what?
It's like, though I did, like, his one episode when he's roaming around Japan.
Trying to ejaculate?
He's like, I wish to ejaculate. And everyone's like, what? He's like, it is not right for the Lord to not...
Right,
to be
you can't
a virgin.
Have the king of Great Guard, you know, be a virgin. So, you there. I wish to ejaculate. And people are just like, what?
You know, but he was so sensitive and nice to, who was it? Was it?
Kobata. Yeah, because he went to the house.
Like, would you please sleep with me?
No, and he didn't even say sleep with me. He's like, would you please let me ejaculate in you?
In you.
Like, and he got down on one knee, so it was really nice, but literally you're like,
But then it was funny, because after he asked that, like, his, like, ward guy, Kakaru, I think.
Yeah, Kakaru.
He was like...
He didn't even talk about it yet.
He's like, Kakaru, does that make me not a virgin anymore? Like, just because he had asked? You know, and he's like, no, you actually kind of have to do it.
Well, no, he wasn't even around. He asked, and he wasn't even in the house.
No, but then shows up in the house. He shows up in that episode.
Yeah, later. But before that, Kobito was like, I'm actually a good girl, and so I don't do stuff like that, so I can't help you with that. I'm really sorry, but I could cook you some food, so, you know, but just take your shoes off.
And, like, didn't he try, I think he tried to take off his pants.
Yes, and she's like, you don't need to do that. He's like, oh. Sorry. I thought that would make it easier. Okay. And so he puts his pants back on. And he's just like, she's like, maybe.
Now, mind you.
Nine.
So, obviously, in the mystical realm, mystical realm, there's something wrong.
Yes, the mystical realm is called Great Guard.
And
Hoxian Blue Blue.
Lord Hawk Blue Blue.
Lord Hawk Blue Blue has what he calls Great Caliber. Which is kind of like Excalibur, but from Great Guard.
Right.
And
there are three other companions that
there
he
has.
There are
three other knights.
But they're all gone.
Yes.
And it's Falcon, just Lord Blue Blue.
Yes, Falcon something something. We never find out what.
Falcon Let's Red Red.
Yes.
Falcon, red Orange. Orange Falcon, Red.
Falcon Crimson Red.
Rojo. Rojo, rojo.
Okay, and
Eagle brown poop. No, I'm just kidding. Eagle something, and then
Eagle sage.
Something.
Eagle,
sage bush.
Eagle emerald sage.
Yeah, we'll say that.
Sure.
Why not? And,
so they're missing.
Yeah, they're
as
missing.
As well as Garuda.
Yeah.
Onyx Black.
Onyx Black, yeah. And the princess of the mystical realm, Great Guard, is like, Lord Hawk Blue Blue, you're the only one left. And we
Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only one.
Literally. And he's like, oh shit.
Yep.
Like, literally.
Like, well, let's kill the bastards.
So, I mean, that's what's going on in the mystical realm of Great Guard. But at the same time, back in modern time, there's like gang wars.
Yes. Between the Yanagihara
Flame Birdies. Which is another...
Even though they always refer to themselves as the Flaming Birds, their shirts totally say Flaming Birdies.
They're fabulous.
Okay, they think that they're vigilantes and, like, they're on a quest for good, but basically the gang violence they get into are things like a firecracker fight that somebody then brings a gun to. You don't bring a gun to a firecracker fight.
You bring a knife to a knife fight.
You bring Roman candles. To a firecracker fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then what? So we've got the Flaming Birdies, and then we have the other
R-Wing.
The R-Wing, which is run by a Ronald McDonald-looking motherfucker.
Yes, named Bishop.
Bishop.
And who's actually kind of just infatuated with Raven.
Is that the chick in his group?
No, that's the dude playing the drums.
Oh, the bongo guy. There's a random bongo guy who's just like, I'm playing the bongos during this war. This is a great ambient soundtrack.
Yeah, and then so Narita finds him. He's like, oh, Raven, this is your group. He's like, yeah, I don't take any responsibility for them or order them around or anything. They just, you know, kind of follow me around, whatever.
I just play my bongos because I have a dark, tormented soul.
Okay. And so you're like, oh, all right. So he's like, well, can you tell them to, like, not fight these other guys? Because the Flame Birdies are about to bring it.
The Flame Birdies are about to lay some serious eggs.
They're going
to
lay some serious eggs of fire. Okay? And he's like, no, dude, whatever happens is whatever happens. And he continues to play his bongo. He's like Matthew McConaughey, but not naked.
And not smelly?
He was underneath a bridge. He was probably kind of...
Someone peed on his coat.
He was a little grody. So then, like, there's a fight between... It was, you know, but it was kind of like...
It was a West Side Story-like
fight.
I know.
Like, when you're dead. Okay. You gotta get a flame parties. Right? We're going all out. And they throw firecrackers. And you're like, I thought somebody was seriously gonna get beat.
But the funny thing is, with the firecrackers, people are, like, falling down like they've been blown up.
I know!
They're snappers. They're not even, like, the ones that can really do damage to your feet.
I know! And they're, like, people that look like they got shot, you know, like, by a 50 cal or something. They're just, like, laying strewn out.
And, of course, there's one hot chick for the R-Wing who's like, oh, look at my green see-through panties.
Well, and it doesn't even have like that. Basically, I guess she went to attack him, and you're like, yeah, whore, throw, and you see the sign go flying, then the sign disappears, and it's the chick upside down, so you're like, okay, so did they throw the chick, or was there an actual sign, she got hit by it, and that's
why we're seeing her... I think she got hit by the sign.
And that's why we're seeing her panties now, and she's like, well, don't help me or anything, and still her ass is up in the air. I'm thinking, you know, if I'm ass up, and I know my underwear is showing... Like, the first thing I'm gonna do is try to roll over so that my ass isn't showing anymore.
See, the first thing I do is make sure that I don't have, it ain't, you know, riding up. But, like, let me just make sure. It's like, all right, now that I've got my hand there, I can kind of hold it.
Okay, then I'm gonna mess somebody up. So then there's more pieces of the fight. And then all of a sudden, this psycho shows up out of no place.
Yeah, his name's Cockaroo.
Yes.
Which sounds like cock-a-doodle-doo like a rooster, and they call him Chicken.
Right, but he calls himself Phoenix.
I know, but some people call him Chicken.
I know, and you're just like, well, are you Chicken or are you Phoenix?
He's both.
Okay, and so he's got, like, white hair, and he's Phoenix. Nuts. He is, like, crazy.
Oh, my God. He's just like, yeah, I'll take bullets to the arm and be like,
and it's like, it doesn't hurt, and punch a wall, and now I'm going to fuck up your Christmas, and I'm going to play with you, and don't you touch him, and don't touch me there, and I hate girls.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I got.
Yeah, that's Phoenix slash Chicken in a nutshell.
Phoenix Chicken.
And I mean, when he's Chicken not Phoenix. In crazy, I'm gonna fuck things up at night mode. He's then like, he's like, no, he's not even normal. He's just like, I fucking hate everything.
Except Shusuke. He likes Shusuke. He likes going to the Alexander.
He sits at the Alexander and, like, makes fun of the two perverts. And right. And one of the chicks is all like, I love being verbally abused by Cockaroo.
Yeah, and he does. He's really mean to her. He, like, almost
hits her. He's like, I fucking hate you, you whore. She's like, oh my God, my panties are wet.
Okay, and then one time, he almost hits her. He gets up like he's going to, stops her, and then he apologizes.
He's like, sorry, I had a bad experience with women. I think he had some serious bad experiences with women.
And then she's just like, oh my God, I have to do something to make it up to Cockaroo. And I'm like, bitch, he almost cold cocked
man.
You.
He was ready to smack that pretty smile off your face.
Like, you don't owe him an apology. That bitch better make you some biscuits. So, you watch that, and you're like, okay, I think I understand what's going on.
Nope.
So there are the three stories that are going on.
And they're all going to mysteriously tie into each other.
And they don't yet, at this point yet,
right,
tie into each other.
They don't until the end.
So, you think that you're on one of those trips where you're, you know, going down three paths, right? And these guys are going to end up in different areas, and somehow they're going to tie back to each other.
Yeah.
You're sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get to episode 6, and then you're not sure of it anymore, because there's been no overlap
between the three dudes.
Okay, and you know that there's only 12 episodes. So then I'm sitting there going, okay, so these are just completely three different journeys.
So we've got three vignettes wrapped up in one series?
Yeah, and so I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, okay?
Your mind is trying to wrap
your mind
around
it? I was trying to tie the shit together. Somehow. Twizzler rope, I don't care. I was trying to tie it together.
Scotch tape, double-sided scotch tape.
You know, fucking need to put
fucking
some duct
boss.
Tape on that shit.
Double-sided duct tape.
You know? Because I wrap my brain around this ugly yet beautiful world. had two paths. But I did that shit.
I know, but I'm just saying, let's not even go into this ugly yet beautiful world.
So I'm accepting the fact, all right, that for every episode I'm going to watch, that there's going to be 50% panty shots. Or...
Not even 75, dude. It was 75 easy.
No, I said on average... I accepted 50% panty shot, 25% awkward sexual situation, or innuendo.
10% what?
And then I was going to be left with another 25% that was going to be a mix of kind of plot.
Plot, question mark? Could I have plot? Okay, thanks, bye.
Okay. It was going to be a mixture of plot. Complete and utter nonsense.
Yep, which does happen.
And emotion. That was going to be the rest of the 25% mix.
Like, this is the formula. Like that Twister game?
Yes. Complete and utter nonsense.
It's like, up your finger into West Virginia. Where's West Virginia?
I know! Like, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, it's regular Twister. And the first time they're playing it, okay.
It makes sense. Hand on yellow. Okay.
Right, foot on blue. And you're like, alright, okay. But then, all of a sudden, the person who's spinning the options now has, like, a slot machine pull, And for whatever reason, she's in a dude's t-shirt with no bra on. She's maybe 9 years old. And then all of a sudden you see, okay, index finger, West Virginia. And you're like,
where's West Virginia?
And then all of a sudden, there's the chick has on U.S. state panties.
No. They go under the chick's skirt.
Yeah.
And it's her naked flesh. And she's got a tattoo of the United States, like, near her ass, near her asshole. And then you see the hand just kind of come up and stop, and the girl's like, oh! So I totally think it was her little starfish.
Oh, my God. I thought they were underwear.
Nope. Then there was that other one with the random cat paw? And then the lady who was like, foot to boob, and the girl's like, I'm pretty sorry about this, and completely.
I know, and then, like, grabs her nipple with her toe in her and pulls it down. You're like, ugh! First of all, you're really dexterous with your toes. And second of all, ow!
Yeah, it was a little messed up.
So, yeah, I'm going, you know, on average, 50% panty shot.
Right.
25%. What did I say? Oh, awkward sexual situation. Yep.
And then the 25% is made up of
a mix
of nonsense,
real emotion, and plot question mark?
Yeah. And that's at the very end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this isn't something that's on Netflix or Hulu. This is on Crunchyroll.
Correct.
It's a paid subscription. You can't get this. They won't let you watch Ecchi for free.
Yep. Can't watch the Ecchis for free.
Gotta pay for that.
Gotta pony up for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you have a paid subscription to Crunchyroll,
you can watch it.
And you are looking
because
for something.
This ran in Japan
in April.
Yeah.
It's still fairly fresh.
Yeah, because it ran in the spring.
Yeah. April. The spring.
It's April. Oh, I remember where shit is
by quarter.
What quarter it's
anyway,
in.
So if you have that already set up and you want to see it, you can. Like I said, it was based off of a visual novel, which from the looks of it, it got some pretty decent reception.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the visual novel put a lot more lines of plot.
I don't think so.
I mean,
when you got through it and you realized, okay, so we're not actually going to get anywhere to episode 11.
Because, I mean, believe it or not, once you get to episode 12 and you put it all together,
then it makes
so much sense.
It makes so much sense.
And I'm like, dude, you could have said that to me, you know, ep 1
dude,
and been done.
If you had just put that to me on episode, like, 4, I still would have been along for the ride.
And believe it or not, like, when I watched episode 12 and I'm like, wow, I'm like, I know exactly where this dude's coming from. Like, I got him. Because I've been to that place, and I'm not even explaining, but I've been there, and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, this was I'm like, this is a roundabout way to bring up something really prevalent in the culture.
Yeah!
Without it being like, hey, I totally am kind of obsessed with this one particular thing, so much that I do all these other... Like, they showed the obsession in such an interesting way. Like, they showed it in a... Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But, seriously, you get to episodes 11 and 12, and you're like, oh my God, wait, it makes sense. But then you have to... I had to go pause. Okay. The people that are the people, and the people that aren't the people, make sense.
Yep.
The panty stuff and the awkward sexual situations, with the exception of one... Still don't make sense, though.
They don't have to.
It should.
Nope. Ecchi for the sake of being ecchi.
No. Yeah.
So if you have Crunchyroll,
it's an
experience.
Without wings, underneath the innocent sky.
Which should be oblivious sky, because that poor... Honestly, I think they should have ran with that. Like, the sky would be like, man, she got crazy today.
I got nothing to do with that. I'm just blue, man.
It's like, All right, Moon, it's your turn. I really don't want to come out tonight, guys. Shit happens at night. Like,
and I have to watch it.
Like, I'm the guardian of the night, and I have to watch this shit. And you guys have no idea what goes on. And the moon and the
have
sun...
Have you seen the little Lolita girl? Have you seen
like,
her?
Like, she's not even out during the day, dude. She's totally a night encounter. And for good reason. But
oh my God.
Reiterating, We Without Wings, Under the Innocent
like,
Sky.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. If you have Crunchyroll, the paid subscription, it's an absolute
must-watch.
It's
a do it,
bold, italicized, underline.
What is it with you and stylizing here?
I'm trying to make a point.
Exclamation point.
Nope, exclamation, exclamation, asterisk, bold, italicized, underlined, do it, asterisk, exclamation point, smiley face.
Why don't you just, you know, double underline that shit to really make
it. Oh my god. What's that one where the line goes through?
Strike through?
Yeah!
Oh my god.
Do it! Smiley face. So outside of that...
We can talk about your obsession now.
Yes, it's totally my obsession.
We've gotten through my obsession.
And now it's mine.
So now it's your turn.
And it's on the game tip. So yeah, duh. Catherine dropped on the 26th. I actually wasn't expecting to get my copy on release date, but... it was for a birthday present.
It was a belated birthday present.
Well, no, because in my birthday card from this particular friend, she had told me that...
But it was a birthday present. Your birthday wasn't Wednesday.
Right, but, you know... Anyway, it was a birthday present, had a choice of whatever it was going to be, and I was like, oh, video game, ding, 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 we're done.
Yeah.
I'm like, and here's the video game, this is the release date. But I didn't know, for one, I don't know her payroll schedule, so I don't know when she gets her money and that. So I wasn't anticipating to get it on release. So, like, everyone was like, oh, mine came into UPS. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, eat my dick, fuck you. And, oh, yours is backlogged, oh, sucks to be you. You know, so, but she surprised me. She surprised me, and I wanted it for the PS3, so I got it for the PS3. And she actually pre-ordered. She called 3 different GameStops and pre-ordered it 2 hours before she picked it up so that I could get the music disc and the art book. And I was like, oh, Miss Lily, you are the bomb.
That's so sweet. And see, that's thinking ahead. That's a good friend.
She was thinking ahead close to crunch time.
Well, but that's still thinking ahead. You gotta give credit.
She got it. But it was funny because when she brought it to me, you know, she's like, so what's this game about? And I'm like, it's really kind of confusing and I don't think I'll give it much justice, but I'll try. And I did. And as she's like looking through the art book, she's like, it's really kind of creeping me out because they're cartoons and cartoons don't have sex. And I had to go and say, in Japan they do. And this game was initially going to only be a Japanese release. So, I mean, I've written a preview about it, my hype piece about it, the day before it was going to drop piece about it. So we knew that I was a Catherine girl for a while.
Duh.
So got it and have been marathoning it. Well, as best of my abilities, have been trying to go through it.
Yes, because you also be taking care of Eshdog the second.
Yep, because we do have a new puppy in the home. But, so, I mean, I was pretty much right. From any of my initial conversations about Catherine, you know, where I, you know, your main character is being pulled into these nightmares, and he has to survive 8 nights of them, about a week. And if he makes it through them, you know, he'll live. And if you happen to die in them, then you die in real life. And I know that I had questions about what was causing the nightmares to happen. I was correct on that assumption that there was an entity that was drawing men into these, and everybody's situation is different. So like I think we were talking where everybody was going through something different.
Mm-hmm.
All the other sheep are. So it's not all of them are trials of the heart, but some of them are some deep psychological shit that's going on in each of these guys' lives. In the demo, they only show you the puzzles and a boss battle. So you don't see all the other things, all the intricate pieces that are really tying into your story. So, I mean, there are several different places where Vincent can go during the day, and you can get up and walk around in them. One's the Stray Sheep Bar, which I think is kind of a play on words, because, you know, in your nightmares, you're surrounded by sheep, and you're kind of got horns like sheep, and you hang out at a bar with sheep, and, you can get up from your table of your dudes, because you've got, like, a manterage, like, your man crew, you know.
Your posse.
You do. And one's named Toby, he's the youngest, and throughout most of the game, he's kind of a virgin, and I think he's one of the most interesting characters, because I'm like, oh, he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and he's still got his V-card, you know, and I'm expecting him to be like, yeah, I want a girl with big titties, you know, and I was expecting him to be, you know, really young and immature, and he's like, nah, I want a mature... You know, I want a hardworking, mature, stern woman with a good pair of heels. And I was like, wait a minute. What? You know, and then you've got, like, your cool, collected guy, Johnny, Jonathan, you know, and he's like, you know, I'm dating this girl and I care about her, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to marry her. I haven't found my soulmate. And, you know, he's very collected, and he's, like, the one that people seem to go to for support. Then you've got your philanderer, Orlando. He's also blonde. I think he's from, like, Germany. I think he's half German, half Japan, Japanese. He's actually now going through a divorce from his wife, who left him first, but everybody, each one of these guys, their stories do play a part into Vincent's story, too.
Okay.
But in your encounters when you're in your bar, you can get up from your table, and people will come in and out of the bar, and you can interact with everybody who comes in and out. So, I mean, and it's actually really important that you go and do that. Like, there's these group of guys that will come in every once in a while, and you find out later on in your game, and I'm going to spoil this, so I don't really give a fuck, because I don't. So you guys can send me the hate mail. I don't care, because I'm going to tell you.
That's mailbag@landofesh.com. Attention, Pandalicious.
Yeah. But you find out that some of the guys that are in this bar are the sheep that you encounter on your landings in the nightmares. Now, mind you, when you go into the nightmare, when you wake up from them, you don't really remember the dreams. So, I mean, you have to be paying attention, because if you, there are certain people that if you don't talk to them at the bar, and you know you talk to them in the dreams, and then they go and they die, you won't get that connect. But if you're paying attention
to who they were, or why they died,
or no, who they are, because I mean, all the other sheep, like when you see them in your dreams, like you're Vincent and you see all the sheep, they're sheep, but all of them in their dreams, they're the only human, and everybody else is sheep.
Okay,
so they know who they are. But they don't know who you are.
Okay, okay.
So, and like I said, when they make it through the puzzle and they're awake during the day, they don't remember the dream. So any interactions that they had with you in the dream, they don't remember.
Okay.
You know, so, but if you keep listening to certain stories, you'll hear little buzzwords that you remember hearing from somebody at the bar. Oh my God. You know, not to mention certain people will have articles of clothing on their sheep in the dream. So you're like, I totally know who you are. But I don't know why you got pulled into this, and then later on you'll get more and more backstory. So you're getting a lot of exposition.
Okay.
In your nightmares, as well as, you know, during the day. You know, but I think there are certain people that always end up dying at the end of it, because you do have the option to encourage these sheep. Because, I mean, every level you go up, there are less and less sheep. That you've been in, like, at first there's so many sheep that you're interacting with, and then when you get, like, halfway up, there aren't that many anymore, and you're kind of like, shit, you know, and you can watch the news, and it will update you on everybody who's dying. So you're like, crap, man. Like, you get invested into these characters, especially because some of them have really horrible stories, you know, and I'm like, Vincent, you thought your life was bad? Did you not listen to that sheep? Man.
Wait, so the sheep talk to you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can talk. Go bad, bad, bad.
No, because they're all like humanoid sheep. Like I said, in their dreams, they're the only human, and everybody else is sheep.
Okay.
But they all speak. They all and you know, like you'll see darker sheep than the white sheep. Like if you've ever seen the pictures, and certain sheep who have been in the dream for way too long, and who have died, but they lost their mind before they died. Like their energy of this insanity just doesn't leave the realm, and those are the sheep that tend to have weapons and can really fuck you up in a dream, as opposed to the ones that just like push you off a block or whatever.
Sheep have weapons?
Certain sheep later on.
I don't like this.
Yeah, and like they become like juiced, like, nope, not gonna say that, just juiced up sheep, like bulky sheep with like mallets with spikes on it. I'm like, what the hell? Like this, like the puzzle isn't hard enough.
I gotta deal with a sheep that's doing steroids.
Yeah, and I'm like, where are you getting the steroids from? Like, I don't get it.
And the mallet.
But anyway, going back to Vincent's story, like I had stated before, you know, Vincent has this long-term girlfriend, Catherine, with a K, like kite. And, you know, she's like, you know, we've been together 5 years. My mom keeps asking what's going on with our lives. She knows I'm content with my work, but she knows that that's not enough for me. And believe it or not, you know, from the demo, you're like, oh, it's like, well, it's 5 years. She wants you to shut her off the pot. But going through the rest of the story, she becomes more and more naggy. Like, mm-hmm. In her texts, she's like, oh, I went by your apartment, and it's such a mess. You should pick up your clothes. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not my mother. B, what the fuck are you doing at my apartment?
I think that's striking a nerve for you personally.
Personally. You know, and I'm like, WTF, woman. Like... Like, why do you care what my apartment looks like? We don't live together. It doesn't mess up your day.
Well, if you've been together for 5 years, motherfucker, you should be living with him.
But they're not, because, for one, this story wouldn't have happened if they were living together, because this blonde one would not have rolled up. Would not have happened. But anyway, so, you know, she's ready to take that next step. Vincent's not sure. He knows he loves her, but he's not sure if marriage is for him, and I've stated that before. And, you know, his whole group of friends, none of them are any help, because Orlando's like, my bitch cheated on me, so now I just fuck anything with a vagina. And Toby's like, cheating's pathetic, and I want an older woman who knows what she's doing. And Johnny's just like, oh my god. You know, so, like, none of them are really help for you. But depending on what you say to them and how you interact, it will flip your morality meter. In my first playthrough, because I'm just about to finish it when we have this conversation, I've been playing it good. I'm like, I've been with Catherine for 5 years. Other shit's gone down. I think I'm going to stick it out with her. I'm like, she's been putting up with my shit. I'm kind of a douchey boyfriend.
Kinda.
I'm a douchey boyfriend.
Thank you.
So I really need to get my shit together.
You should really get your shit together.
I should. But obviously, once I do finish this playthrough, I'm totally going to be like, fuck that old hag. Fuck that. Because the other Catherine, she's 10 years younger. Like, I think you and your current girlfriend are 32. And Catherine, blonde Catherine with a C, is 22. So she's young. You know, so,
So you're gonna upgrade for younger mom.
Man, and during the big, because there's a big cat fight between the two Catherines later on. And she's like, why don't you just, are you sure that there's even a bun in that ice cave, you old whore? Like, I mean, she said some shit that I'm like, man, if some bitch was gonna roll up to me and talk about my ice cave, which isn't an ice cave, it's like a hot sauna of love, I would be like,
I can't believe you just said that.
I would be like,
wow,
bitch, let's go. Put my hair up, let's go. Throw my purse up in a tree and let's duke it out.
Get the Vaseline, put it on your ears.
But anyway, so there's a lot more going on than I could have even imagined. Because at first I'm like, okay, so it's a puzzler. I want to say it's like a psychological thriller, horror, romance puzzle game. Like, there's so many things.
There's too much. It's play all the things.
Play everything. And, you know, and depending on, for one, depending on what you got sloshed on the night before you fall asleep, there are certain abilities that, like, he will become faster in the game if he's really drunk when he goes to bed, which doesn't make any sense because alcohol is a depressant, so you think it would slow him down.
Right.
But it doesn't. Don't ask me why I didn't design the game, but whatever. It gives me a reason to want to drink in the game a lot. And,
just gives me a reason to want to drink.
Yeah, it does. And believe it or not, because if you finish drinking, and they give you several different options for drinking, they'll give you really interesting alcohol tips and drink, like, trivia about your booze. Like, it's real, like, they really put a lot of thought into your drinking. Like, they really encourage people to just drink so you can learn more about alcohol, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's still interesting.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people were a little confused about the demo because it didn't show all the elements of the actual nightmare puzzle. So, I mean, they aren't just simple blocks that you just move back and forth to make a staircase to get up. Like, there are trap blocks, like some that have spikes, so if you're on them for too long, spikes will rise up. There are certain ones that are bombs that will blow up and will turn regular blocks into, like, crumbling blocks that can break after, I think, you can step on them, like, twice. There's, like, a trampoline block that will shoot you up, like, 5 blocks. So, I mean, there's so many other elements to the puzzle that they didn't even show in the demo, which I think they should have done. So that people weren't just like, oh, it's just, you know, blocks. You're just moving blocks. It's like, no. It's like, you're moving blocks that could potentially hurt and or maim you.
Yeah, I mean, you brought that up the last time that you talked about Catherine. And, you know, I think that that's one thing that's a little detrimental about the demo system to begin with is I don't know if there's a limit to how big a demo can be.
Right.
Or not. But really, I think what the demo was the fastest thing that they could turn around, you know, because they weren't originally going to bring it out in US.
And well, the funny thing is the first two puzzles that you play in the demo are actually the first two nightmare scenarios that you encounter in the game. And the game starts abruptly with you in a nightmare, which is really kind of interesting because when I played the demo, I was like, so from my understanding, the nightmares don't start until you start messing around with blonde Catherine, with C. Catherine. But apparently, your first nightmare happens even before you've met her. So,
well, which kind of makes sense if you're having turmoil about, you know, whether or not you're going to marry K. Catherine.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So, so that entity that I was talking about, because I'm going to spoil that, and then if you want to go play it, you should play it. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. But there is this entity that they call Woman's Wrath in this game. And there are certain periods of time in Japanese history where a lot of men were dying of mysterious causes.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, what they say is that the rumor that is apparently now like an urban legend in this particular universe is that if you scorn a woman and she has such a rage for you, like she is so upset with you that she's cursing you and wishing for you to die, you will get put into this trial of nightmares. If you make it through them and you live, well, so be it. But if you do not ascend these staircases and make it to the doors at the end of the night and you fall to your death, you will die in real life. Now, mind you, like I said, during the puzzle, you know, not only are you moving blocks to ascend upwards, but the bottom pieces are falling. So think of it like you're on a piece of a Tetris board. But the Tetris board is already put together, but it's slowly falling apart. So instead of a piece coming down that you're fitting, it's breaking away. So you're trying to climb up. And it's a mindfuck. Like, it's an utter mindfuck. Like, I mean, when I jumped into my first playthrough, I got halfway through the game. Like I said, there are 8 nights where you're in these nightmares. And I got to 4. And they're teaching you techniques on how to place blocks, where to move blocks, and you want to talk to sheep for that. So when you're on those landings and you talk to sheep, they'll be like, oh, I have this technique that you should know. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to pay attention to that. And then I die 15 times and say, I should be paying attention to these techniques.
It takes you 15 times to learn you should listen to the sheep.
Well, this one particular one, I was like, I don't want to listen to this technique because I just want to go. So, and then I realized, you know what? They're putting it in the game for a reason. I should take the
time.
Took
you 15 deaths to figure that out, though. Yep. That's what I'm going with.
Yep. And, yeah. And I've actually mastered a lot of the techniques, which is great, because when I know going into normal, I'm going to need to remember all of them. But anyway, so when you... Yes, I am, and I thoroughly enjoy it. But if you scorn a woman and she's wishing your death, if you're a man, women don't get pulled into this. It's always men who get pulled into this. If you die in this dream, you'll die in real life. And all these men have a particular woman fixture that has cursed them. And most of them are cheaters, don't get me wrong. Now, not everybody's situation is that way, but, you know, the bulk of them are being... untrue to a woman who has caught on to it.
Okay.
So it's just, there's just so much going on, and it is so amazing how intricate they've made the gameplay. In between levels, when you're on those landings and you get sent to another part of the nightmare, there are these areas called confessionals where you're sitting in a confessional, like a Roman Catholic confessional booth, and there's someone sitting in the other one, kind of like a priest, but you never see who that is. And it's a really creepy voice, and it kind of sounds like Greg Ayers, but I know it's not Greg Ayers.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's like a cousin of Greg Ayers, like Bob.
Bob Ayers.
Bob Ayers. You know, and these questions, and they are seriously vague questions. And I'll only talk about one, and then I'll wrap this up. So one of the questions that I got was, who do you choose above all else, your best friend or your lover? Like, that's it. And these two ropes come down and you have to decide. Now, one of them will raise your morality and one will not. And that's all they give you. There's like no hint. There's no, oh, your girlfriend's a cunt bag. Or your best friend stole your girlfriend 1 year. Like, they don't, it's cut and dry. That's it. So, you know, you're kind of sitting there going, oh, man. And they want your actual opinion. And believe it or not, going through your first playthrough of the game, when the load screen happens, they'll show you what other people who are playing it online, what their answers were. So that you get that nifty piece of trivia. It's like, wow, everyone said this when I would have thought it was this.
So what'd they say?
Well, that's the thing. I chose friend because bros before hoes. Like, I did. I seriously did say that. I was like, bros before hoes. I'm like, but then I'm sitting there afterwards. I'm like, but what if your lover is like your best friend? Which they don't. They do not give you that middle rope, which isn't fair. But and that was actually wrong. They wanted you to say your lover. And I'm like, But I can't, because love is a fleeting thing. You know, you could have the love of your life and something happen, but, you know, and it not work out, and then your bros are going to be there for you.
So maybe.
Man,
friends are fleeting, too. Some of them are fake as shit.
I know. But, so, I mean, and believe it or not, that is the wrong
you
answer.
You shouldn't be fucking somebody that, you know, could be flighty.
You shouldn't be friends with people who are fair weather friends also.
Exactly.
But they don't. But that's the thing, they don't give you any more basis than...
I totally would have said lover.
Well, I don't have a lover, okay? So I chose friends because I...
You've had them!
Yeah. And I chose them and look where it got me.
Ouch.
Yeah, see? True speak right there, and I can admit it. So I know a lot of people were a little skeptical about Catherine, but believe it or not, for people who aren't big into Atlas and aren't big into Punishment, I would say rent it. You know, if you got a Gamefly, try it. It won't kill you.
You hope?
Yeah. Don't cheat on your girlfriend.
Yeah, that's bad.
Or your wives.
Yeah, don't do that. That's bad.
But go and do that. They actually do have a co-op mode in the game, too. I haven't had a chance to play that yet, but I'm looking forward to that. And they also have a competitive where you can compete with other people, I think, in time trials and stuff about who can make it through
the
puzzles faster. But I thoroughly do enjoy it. I am only playing on easy right now. Apparently, there's a super, super easy, but you have to hold down your select button or your back button and hear a dong to unlock the super easy mode. Easy isn't easy at all, and the bosses suck. But I enjoy it, and you should try it. I'm done now.
You all set? Okay. Well, if you want to see and read some of the things that Pandalicious has said about Catherine, you know, outside of the podcast where she's talked about it, and I think that makes, like, the third episode now.
I think this is number four, actually.
It might be. I've lost count.
There's going to be eight.
On the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce into the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. Any questions or comments, go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes for free. Click that lovely little subscribe button and leave a comment/review, please.
You heard what the lady said. Just simply fire up your iTunes application, go to the music store, and search for Electric Sisterhood. There you will see that beautiful subscribe button. Click it. It's your ticket to awesomeness.
Ticket to ride the awesome S train.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
All aboard.
She said. Brand new episodes the moment we put them out on the web. If you're not an iTunes fan or you don't use the app, well, guess what? For those of you that like the Zune Marketplace, you can find our podcast there, too. Just simply search for Electric Sisterhood in the Marketplace, and once again, subscribe and or get the desired episode. Promise you, you will not be sorry.
If you don't want to do either of those, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But you should also be looking for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. Oh, no, no, no. We have new episodes of our podcast that go out on Mondays, and you can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bass Brigade, hosted by King Baby Duck and his lovable bunch of bastards. We highly recommend it. They talk music, they talk movies, they talk all kinds of talk and walk the walk. So make sure that you check those guys out, and then follow that up on Wednesday with a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which happens to be hosted by our boy Deuces Wild, who is the man to cover and talk about more of the nerdier side of things, gadgets, gizmos, and all that kind of stuff. And to continue the rest of the week, like I've said before, we write stuff on all of our respective websites. You can check it out. You can see what Ham's up to, what Vicious is up to. Panda even puts stuff up. Every once in a while, I get something up. There's all kinds of
craziness.
Oh, I
get things up all the time.
Oh, my God. All right, moving on. You can also interact with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can ask us questions. Let us know what you're interested in us talking about. Because we may actually include that on a future episode of the podcast.
Yeah, if you guys would, like, do it, we would totally include it in the show.
Yeah, all you gotta do, facebook.com/landofesh.
You can ask us anything.
Suggest a topic, ask us questions. You can ask us anything, we might not answer it, but you can ask us anything.
Oh no, I'll answer anything.
I know you will, because you're like that.
And that's the way it is.
You can also cop the latest issue of our magazine, which is on sale now, landofesh.com. Grab it, it's fantastic. There's a piece in there on the Bethesda game Rage, which is coming out. Looks fantastic.
There's an awesome little comic with me in it. Not drawn by me, but I'm in it.
Yes, you are. You're featured in it.
I'm featured
prominently in it.
Yep.
Yep.
Bosoms. Squish.
English. Okay. Anyway.
Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. If you want to catch all of the people on Twitter that make up the Land of Esh, just go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. I suggest following everyone on that list because it will brighten your fucking day.
If it doesn't, you're lame.
So, with that, I'm going to say this podcast is definitely, definitely done. You got anything that you're digging this week?
Catherine. Catherine and RP Grinders movie night, which is on Fridays.
Oh, so that's why we don't have our movie night anymore.
No, because their movie night is at 1 a.m. And we can still have our movie night.
Why? You keep ditching me.
I'm not ditching you.
I'm here. You're not here. It's on the calendar. You never show up. I'm here.
But we talk to people and make funny commentaries on the movies. We should do it too on Justin TV.
You know what?
Censor.
Censor.
But what do you dig this week?
Well, let's see. It's not movie night, for sure.
Oh my god, it's at 1 a.m. I don't think you want to sit up and watch Commando. We watched Commando last night. I fell asleep during Commando with Schwarzenegger in it.
But you still did it.
I showed up, but I fell asleep, so it's not even like I watched the movie.
We were gonna do geek nights and stuff.
Oh, stop it. What do you
sniffle,
dig?
Sniffle.
Oh my god.
Sniffle, sniffle, tear.
Uh-huh, okay. What shit are you digging?
I am actually digging PDP peripherals. I gotta say.
I don't even know what those are.
PDP makes some phenomenal controllers. They're the ones that did the custom Tron controller. They did the custom... I think they did the custom cable controller.
Oh.
But they also made the Mortal Kombat controller, you know, that's upstairs right now in their place.
Right.
Yeah, they are really doing some fantastic, fantastic stuff with controllers. And I'm digging them, like, a lot. So, PDP Gaming, kick ass. Keep doing what you do. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here.
See you later, guys.
Peace.